Okay, we're going to do some church business in a little bit, but let's spend a little bit of time in examining a few things in the Word of God. We can at least get started into the study dealing with the faith that is so important as far as the believer is concerned. There is a faith that is essential to become a believer, and then there is a faith that is so essential for the believer. A couple of things I want to draw to your attention. First of all, Stephanie, David's wife, will have going for surgery in the morning, and it is serious, it is important. I guess any operation is important, so let's just stay with the word, it's serious. And please be in prayer for Stephanie. Bless her heart, I told her, you know, she's got some tumors and they're going to have to remove maybe more than three, but they think there's at least three they found. I told her if they remove too much, she won't weigh anything. And bless her heart, but please be in prayer for Steph, the doctors, and David and all at this time. It's anytime you go in, there's always uncertainty related to it, but certainly related to things like that, whether or not it's benign and all of these things that are involved in that. So please be in prayer for David and Steph and the doctors at this time. And I remind you, Sunday night we'll have a communion service, and then we will have some dinner together, fellowship together, and I encourage you to come if possible. I hope Mrs. Smith at this point is planning on coming, and this will be a very nice evening if we can just get together in that respect. All right, let's prepare ourselves for a few moments in the study of the Word of God and then conduct some family business. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves with other born-again believers, like-minded in regard to your Son, in regard to your plan. And Father, we pray now that God the Holy Spirit will illuminate the truth of your word to us. Father, we pray that you will protect this assembly this evening as we study your word and as we conduct some family business. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we are in the midst of looking, as you know, at the Greek word group, the word domain of salvation or being saved. And we have noted that in regard to that word group, it is used in the New Testament for three phases of the plan of God. Obviously, there is a being saved or being delivered in reference to the unbeliever as far as his Christian life, or as far as becoming a born-again believer. And the word saved or salvation is used in that respect. But we also saw that for the born-again believer, we have exactly the same word used, salvation, being saved, being delivered, because we as born-again believers need to be saved or delivered just as much as we did when we were unbelievers, and it is every bit as much a deliverance or a salvation, which means it is totally dependent on God and God doing it. So we saw it there, and then we saw two passages where the same word is used, saved or delivered, in reference to our leaving this earth and going into eternity or into the third phase of the plan of God as far as we are concerned. So we dealt with that word group. Now what we're looking at is another word, and that is the word pistis, pisteuo, the whole concept of faith. And we are now going to examine how this word also is used in reference to three periods or phases of the plan of God. And we have already studied how the word faith is used in reference to the unbeliever becoming saved. He is being saved, delivered out from the penalty of sin, as well as other things. It's just, this emphasizes it. That's why last week I went through a lot of things of what we're saved out of and saved into. And so we've taken up here the word saved or salvation, and we saw that there is a corresponding faith with this. We saw that this is a faith here that cannot be improved. It cannot be strengthened, but it cannot be lost. It is an act of faith, boom, done deal, and that's it. And God does something at the moment of that faith. He saves or delivers us into the plan of God, into Christ. So that there is a corresponding faith with this salvation. Now tonight, what I want to do is to start looking at the word pistis, or faith, as it relates now to the born-again believer, as far as our life on earth is concerned. Now, you should start beginning to see the problem. And some people think that you can lose your salvation, redemptive salvation, because they study passages that deal with this word salvation for the believer, which can be lost, which cannot be attained by many. Many will not attain this salvation as believers because they refuse to walk by faith. So you study the passages that are clearly dealing with the born-again believer, and you see the believer not having faith or losing his faith or withdrawing his faith, and then you relate it to a salvation or deliverance, you can lose your salvation. The only problem is we've got to accurately divide the word of truth. We got to accurately understand the Word of God. And there is an eternal salvation, a redemptive salvation for the unbeliever by an act of faith in Christ, and he is saved. Boom, done deal. Now for the born-again believer. I want to look at some passages that talk about faith in our life and our being delivered as born-again believers. And go to the Word of God, just as we did here. I didn't pull any punches. We saw the word used for the unbeliever. We saw the word salvation used for the believer. It's every bit as much as salvation. Now what I want to look at are some of the passages that have a corresponding faith with that salvation. So, you know, in the simplicity, I hate teaching by numbers. I'd rather teach, you know, in what we're dealing with, but this would be known as living faith for the born-again believer. Now, this faith is essential to be saved. This faith is essential to entering the plan of God. This faith, however, is where our battle is. This is where the battle of the born-again believer lies, is in faith too. This is the crucial part. This is where we live. So we need to concentrate a few hours in our study on this area of this faith and the Christian life. Christian life is so, it's totally dependent, as far as we are concerned, on our faith. The great issue is not sin or no sin, righteousness, no righteousness, doing good, doing bad. The issue is faith, no faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. This is where you and I live, is in this area of faith. In fact, I'll show you some passages so dependent on faith, not rationalism, not empiricism, and not work, which are so dominant in the other, but in religions, that this became, throughout the Greek world, not Jewish world, but throughout the Greek world, and that's important to understand why this happened, early Christianity will become to be known in the first century as the faith. The faith. Because that is what is the essential of a person who is going to follow Christ. So it became known as the faith. And if you are of the faith, and in capital, this is what it will be known as, and I'll show you this in Acts. And unbelievers will call it that. Believers will call it that. It'll also be called the Way. And a couple of things like that in the book of Acts. But it's also called the Faith. And the reason it's called the Faith is because it is the center, the heart and core of our part of all of this. And this, again, is where you and I live. This is why we have so many passages, and we'll look at them. This is why we have the endurance of faith, testing of faith. I have the testing of our works and the testing of our doctrine, the testing of these things. It's the testing of our faith, the endurance of our faith. And a word that a lot of people don't like, perseverance. The perseverance of faith. All of these kinds of words that we'll look at. This is where our battle is. This is where our test is. This started in the first book, and we'll note this again, but in the first book of the Bible, Job, the whole thing is about, are you going to continue to trust me? This is a great issue as far as we are concerned. Even when there is no reason to trust me, are you going to trust me? Now, I want to make a comment about faith, pistis, pistuo. We can go through all of the computer readout printouts now, how many times it's used by each writer in the verb and in the noun, how many times it's used in different contexts, and on and on and on. It is the essential. But like everything else, the Bible, Bible doctrine, everything that we can talk about, Satan's going to come in and have a twist in it that is wrong. So I want you to understand some things about it. I'm not going to give a doctrine of faith tonight, but we're not talking about, and I'll put it on the board, because there is a big movement going on, I understand. I feel this has come to me. Anytime you start teaching something, I start teaching spiritual love and making love where it fits into the plan of God and the Word of God as I see it, as the Holy Spirit has opened it to me. And not everybody, not you, a lot of people get all worried. We're going to get into sloppy love. Start talking about the Holy Spirit. Oh, he's going to become a charismatic. That's the attack. So always go to the extreme. Well, there is a movement called the faith movement, I've learned, and done a little investigation into it, the faith movement. And the faith movement is wrong. Now, why is it wrong? Faith is good. But the faith movement, the way it's being used today, and I understand now by a couple of people here in Dallas as well as other places, the point of the faith movement is, it is faith in faith. It is the emphasis of my faith becomes the great issue. People, that's not what we're talking about. And I think most of you know this. I don't have to do this, but I think we need to say it so it'll be on the tape series and so you'll at least understand it. We're not talking about faith in faith. We're not talking about my faith. Example, this is the way the faith movement goes. If you had enough faith, that person would not have died. If you had enough faith, you wouldn't have lost money. If you had enough faith. No, no, no. A grain of mustard seed of faith gets you eternal life. We're not talking about there is no merit in faith. And I think most of you know, but I need to have this stated so that it's on the record. Faith doesn't save anyone. Is that clear? The work of Christ on the cross saves. The work of God, the Holy Spirit, delivers us, guides us. Faith doesn't do it. God does it. All that faith does is it accesses the work of God and the power of God. Faith is the only thing that God, looking down at man, here's God, looking down at man who needs to be saved, delivered, as an unbeliever or as a believer, needs to be saved, needs to be delivered. God looks down, And this believer exercises an act of faith in the one that God has sent. That faith is what God can look at, because there is no merit in faith. The merit is in the object of faith. You can have a ton of faith in yourself and you'll never get saved. So we're not talking about a faith movement. We're not talking about faith in faith. We're not talking about your faith where you become the issue. I hope this is clear. If there's any questions, let me know. We're not talking about, and this is very crucial, we're not talking about faith in baptism, water baptism, to be saved. Faith in the sacrament. If I take a sacrament, then something will happen to me. So my faith then is directed toward that. We're not talking about faith in repentance. We're not talking about faith in my confession. What we're talking about is faith in God. And I hope this is clear so that you don't get confused or let anyone intimidate you. Because faith is the issue, and Satan's going to do whatever he can to neutralize that faith. And this whole thing of this faith movement has nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about what's in the Word of God. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We're talking about living by faith, walking by faith. We're not talking about a faith movement. So we're not talking about faith in faith. I haven't put this into a doctrine. Maybe I need to. But we're not talking about faith in faith. We're not talking about a faith that concentrates on you. How much faith do you have? If you had more faith, this would happen in your life. No. No. If you just have faith, that's the point. That's all God is looking for, is faith. And sometimes people, even as a believer, as an unbeliever, all he needs is just that little bit, because as an unbeliever, it's all you can give is a grain of mustard seed. As a believer, you may be so downtrodden, in such pain in your soul, in your life, all you can muster up is a little bit of faith in God. Otherwise, nothing. That's all he's looking for. Boom, I see it. Because that's what he wants from us, is our faith in him. I trust you, God. This is the great issue. So we're not talking about faith in faith. We're not talking about faith that emphasizes the person, how much faith you have, how strong is your faith. If you had more faith, this wouldn't have happened. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about faith in you doing something that is in the Word of God, and I'll be talking about this in a moment. You being baptized. Yeah. A person would say, yeah, I have faith. Yeah, but their faith is in the fact that if they are water baptized, they're saved. Well, it doesn't say. Well, yeah, I have faith. I have faith in my repentance. I have faith in my confessions. I have faith in my feeling sorry. No, that isn't going to cut it. These things are important, but they're not the things that are going to cause God to come down and pull us out and deliver us and save us and act in our lives. It's a faith that gets him, goes to him. It's a faith. That's why I said faith is the richest word of relationship. Here's your faith, here's God. So all he sees is a faith. In him, he grabs it. And there's a great relationship. And out of that relationship will come the greatest manifestation of faith, love. But what I want us to understand is this is the battle, and faith is not a work. Faith is not a work. And I've been accused of saying that. Well, what he's teaching is he's making salvation a work, and he's making spirituality a work. Faith is not a work. Faith in the Word of God is that which grabs hold to what God is doing and will do. It's the only thing God can do. So in actuality, they themselves are teaching work. And they've got to attack what we're doing. So faith is the only act that man, here's man, let's take man as an unbeliever here. Faith is the only act, here's man, and we'll start off with man as an unbeliever. It's the only act, the only thing that the unbeliever can do It's the only act that an unbeliever can do that will access the power of God and cause God to act in his life is to an act of faith in God. So faith isn't a work. Faith appeals to the work of God. Faith is a reliance on God. Faith is the way that God had it set up for us to access his power, his work. And he came up with faith because faith is the absence of works. Faith is totally absent of any merit of man. It's absent of my repentance. It's absent of my confession. It's absent of my soul. It's absent of everything. Now, those things are necessary to bring the unbeliever, but this is the act right there that causes God to act in my life and in your life. What is it that will cause God to act in your life? Yes, sir. Go, please. Okay. There is. I've got that in a series of lessons coming up. Let me just comment on it so we can do it. Now, what we have is in the faith. Here is our faith. Another word. Not what I want to say is I don't want this to be a two word process. What we have is. That is what faith is. Faith is a rest in the work of God. Faith is a, that's what faith is. Faith is resting in God. It is an act of trusting God. Now, if someone, has a resting, but that resting is not in an act of faith in God, then it has no power. The power comes in the actual act of our faith, because it's that faith that is a moment-by-moment relationship with God. It's the only moment-by-moment relationship that we can possibly have with God, is to continue to trust Him. One man put it this way. Here is the act that saves you. There is the act of faith that saves you. Now, it says that the Word of God says we are to walk by faith. So what we have here is an act of faith, and these things could come along so close that your life becomes like this. Yes, there will be these parentheses, and that's when we are not in faith. And when we are not trusting God, what are we doing? When we are not trusting God, we are in sin. It may be sin in the realm of human good. It may be sin in the realm of what we normally think of in the area of sins, overt, mental attitude, those negative things. We could put here things that are generally considered good and things that are generally considered bad. Doesn't matter. They're both sin. That's why you have the words both grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. So what is sin? Sin in its bottom line is a failure of not trusting God. So people, really, the issue is not... The issue is not not sinning. That's not our battle. Our battle is not to sin. Don't think, and I don't want our children to go through life, well, the real battle is don't sin and be good. That's not our battle. Our battle is trust God. Walk through life trusting God. Because if I can teach a child to walk by trusting God in his life, the sin is continually gone. But we don't want to, there's nowhere in the New Testament that sin becomes our battle. Faith is our battle. And it's really inappropriate. I'll just tell you right up front, and I'm not going to get on a big campaign about this, but it really isn't even an issue. How do I recover from sin? That isn't even the issue. Because what is sin? Sin is when I hear sin. Sin occurs in my life when I stop trusting God or stop walking by faith. That's what... Well, his pens are low. That's what sin is. Sin is when I stop walking by faith. So the question is then, I stop walking by faith and I have a mental attitude sin, or maybe the over, maybe a sin of the tongue, of gossip, or an overt sin, maybe stealing or something. Okay, boy, now what am I going to do about all of this? No, it's the wrong question. The sin, now listen, the sin has already been dealt with on the cross by your Savior. He's already taking care of the sin problem. So what's the issue for me? The issue for me is to get back into His power. The Bible doesn't make sin that big issue, but it's something you and I have to deal with. Our study in 1 John really opened this up to me. Sin is not something you and I have to deal with. What you and I have to deal with is, are you going to trust God? Now, where did you learn that? You learned that as an unbeliever. As an unbeliever, do you have to deal with sin? Do you have to do something about it? No. Christ did it. In our little deal we're working out for our children, and I'm so in prayer about it, and I want you to be in prayer about it, because I think it's just so simple and so beautifully conveys these truths. But we have Fred Flintstone trying to take care of the sin problem, and then we go to the gospel and we take that picture where he's trying to take care of the sin problem, and we put, Christ did it. You don't have to, Fred. You don't have to take care of the sin problem, and neither did you? None of us had to take care of the sin problem. Christ did it. What was the issue? Your sins? No. What was the issue? Christ. Faith or no faith. And the same thing's true as a believer. He's taking care of the sin problem. The great issue for you and for me now is, am I going to have faith or not have faith? So, Bob, getting back, the deal is that your life becomes like this, and I'm going to put in an upward movement of perfection here in the plan of God. Your life moves in this direction of the faith life, moving on, or a life of rest. But there's no such thing as just resting without there being the act of faith. And I've got some things that develop that into some points that I'm going to be doing. But so we have what faith demands is just trusting God. That's the concept of our faith. It is a reliance, a rest, a reliance on God, trusting God. Now, as we're going to see, all Satan's attacks are designed, people, to stop our faith. This is Satan's design. The whole concept in dealing with the unbeliever here, here's the unbeliever. Satan's whole design is to blind the gospel, to veil the gospel, cause him not to see the gospel, cause him not to understand the gospel. He wants to stop us from trusting. Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians with me a moment. 2 Corinthians 4. And we'll be turning to this passage several times because it's filled with so many important principles for our study. But look at 2 Corinthians 4. Now let me say this. I have one person tell me, Pastor, I agree. That was his statement. But I think we ought to make a big deal with our children not to sin. And that's the way a lot of people feel. In other words, I really don't trust faith and the power of God that much. I had a deacon on my previous board that's gone in the midst of the battle tell me, "I don't trust the Holy Spirit." And he said it in a deacon's meeting, and all the deacons agreed. We the flesh, desires to control. And there are those who will make it a big deal with children. Don't sin. And that's the momentum. I have studied this word. I have prayed about what we're doing. And I don't find that in the Word of God. What I find in the Word of God is to teach the children to trust God, to teach the children to walk by faith just as we do as adults. Because people, if you're walking by faith, you cannot sin. And also, that type of emphasis easily leads to the energy of the flesh, in my opinion, and not the power of God. It leads to the energy of the flesh. Don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do, and you build it up in John Wayne Christianity of America, where it is by my effort, by my power, that I am not doing these things. And you're going to fail. You're going to fail if you do that. Trust in God. Because when I am walking by faith, I'm walking by His power, not the sin. That's why some time ago, what did I teach? It's not an issue of teaching a child cheating versus non-cheating. That's not the battle. The battle is non-cheating versus non-cheating. The battle is not cheating versus non-cheating. That's not even up for discussion. What we're going to talk about is not cheating versus not cheating. Are you not going to cheat in the energy of the flesh? Or are you not going to cheat because you trust God and you're resting in His power? That's the battle. That's the battle that glorifies God. Because if the battle is simply not cheating, cheating versus not cheating, then I can get credit in the energy of the flesh for not cheating. No. That is wrong. That turns into religion and legalism, and that's why most people, most Christians, become more horrified with blatant sins that we can talk about than they do self-righteousness and arrogance and human good that builds up all of the Pharisee's attitude, builds up a Pharisee, builds up the person who thinks that they're wonderful and everybody else does, and they are dead inside. They are no better. In fact, they're worse because they claim that they're spiritual than the person that's out there doing horrible things, we could say, or just, you know, living a wild life. They're both desperately wicked. They're both dead. Whitewashed tombstones, as Christ said. The issue is not cheating versus non-cheating. It is not cheating versus not cheating. It's how are you and I going to live? Are we going to live by that faith? And Satan is going to do whatever he can. Let's just read a little bit and then we'll close. 2 Corinthians 4. And just look with me. In dealing with the gospel model, what he's trying to do. Verse 3 begins the study. And even if our gospel... Now remember, the gospel is not confined to the unbeliever, but there are several passages where the gospel deals with the whole Christian life, the entering it and the whole Christian life. Our gospel is not veiled. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world... Now who's the God of this world? Satan. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel. And the light of the gospel is what? That God has done it. He has sent His Son to do it. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's our study in John on Sunday morning. For God, he said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, verse 7, but we have this treasure, and that's the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you that. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So our body is a vessel of clay, and we have a treasure in it. Now, what is the treasure? at the surpassing greatness of the power, that's the Holy Spirit, may be of God and not of ourselves. We have that power that we're going to have to walk by. We are afflicted in every way. This is the testing of our faith now, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing. See, what can Satan do? What can the testing of our faith do? It can afflict, but it can crush if you walk by faith. It can perplex, but it will not lead you to despair if you walk by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Persecuted, that's what he can do to try to attack your faith, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You have in this list a contrast between what Satan is doing to attack your faith, to get you to walk out, and what the power of the Holy Spirit will cause you not to do. And verse 16, therefore, and in light of all of this attacks and everything, we do not lose heart. Now, what is lose heart? Lose heart is an expression for the withdrawal of faith. Lose heart is an expression for the shrinking back of faith. Lose heart is another word for the shipwreck of faith. Losing heart is I stop trusting God. This is too much suffering, too much adversity, too many problems. I'm going to stop trusting God. And Paul says we do not lose heart because in the heart is where our faith resides. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though the outer man is the king under all of this suffering and attack, our inner man is being renewed day by day. So this is where we'll begin tomorrow night and get a good momentum of study. What I want to do now is spend a few moments, and we have a couple of things, really one major thing that we want to vote on as a family, and that is we have an opportunity with Philip McMillan. Okay, yeah, just cut it. It is our purpose to fulfill your plan and destiny for this assembly. We do not want or desire to be anywhere and doing anything other than what you want us to do and where you want us to be. We desire, Heavenly Father, to put ourselves in a position to be used in your servitude to fulfill your purpose and your plan for this assembly. First, Heavenly Father, in regard with each other, financially, prayerfully, encouraging one another, assembling together, assisting each other in the manners that are given to us in the New Testament. And then, Heavenly Father, out from this church, in any and every way that you can use. We pray, Father, that you will always guide us and give us wisdom. We do not want or desire a tape ministry just to have one, a publication ministry just to have one, a missionary outreach just to have one. These, Heavenly Father, the things that are set up where we can spread the gospel and go into the world. So, Father, we pray that you will guide us and give us wisdom when to say no and when to say yes. And we know, Heavenly Father, that you will provide the finances. That's the easiest thing in the world for you to provide, and you'll provide it. And we know that. And so, Father, all we want to do is to set ourselves in that position where you will provide to do what we need to do to fulfill our destiny and our purpose. We praise you for this assembly. We praise you for the spiritual love that is given to each other. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity that we have to spread the gospel and disseminate the word of God. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.